Good evening. It's good to be back in the Lord's house. I thank God for prayer. I believe in prayer. I believe that until we, as individuals, as Christians, until we see the true worth of prayer, then we'll not grow in our faith much in the Lord. I like to say many battles have been won in the Bible. Many great feats have been undertaken and accomplished in the Word of God. I believe not so much as by brute strength, but I believe because it men and women prayed. Amen. I know no greater thing as a Christian except to be a great prayer warrior. And I want to encourage you, if you've not been saved long, maybe you've never heard this term, but the Bible tells us to enter into our prayer closet and for us to pray. And I have a special place that when I'm really burdened and I want to really talk to God, I enter into my prayer closet and pray. And I trust and hope that if you're a young convert and you've never done that, you find you a place to pray. Maybe outside, maybe in your house, maybe a room, maybe a closet, whatever, wherever God leads you. But if the church is going to continue on, and it will continue on, but if it's going to have any power, it's because people pray. Amen. Christians pray. So I want to encourage you to pray. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles tonight, if you would, and to Genesis chapter number 22. A few weeks back, Brother Tom, he had us to maybe tell a certain story or something, favorite scripture in the Bible, share with the Sunday school class. And I went over this scripture, and I'm not going to read it all tonight, but I'm going to just, if you was in there and you heard it, you may hear some things that you've already heard, but if you've never, then it'll be new to you. But I tried to make it important and a little fresh for all of us tonight, including me. This is one of my favorite types in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 22. I have a Jewish friend who some 48 years ago shared this scripture with me, and when a Jew gets saved, he can show you Christ more in the Old Testament than any preacher, amen. And he showed me some things in this scripture, and it just blessed me and stuck with me all these years, and I've preached from it many, many times, and in many different ways, and many. I like to title my messages, and so I use varied and different titles, but so tonight we're going to be preaching or teaching from there. But I'd like to say this, Lord laid it on my heart. Hadn't our pastor really been doing some great preaching? Amen. I tell you, he's blessed me. He just gets the old word goes better and better. Amen. And I tell you what, he preached this past Sunday. Every Sunday blesses my heart, but it just seemed like it just spoke right to me. Amen. And Brother Joe, when I left, I felt like I could swing out over hell with the Holy Ghost grapevine and shout Jesus, amen. But he always does a great message. But here in Genesis chapter number 22, we find a great type, and it's the type of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and his resurrection. We all probably have heard a little bit about it, about Isaac and how that Abraham offered his son up there upon the mount of the Lord. And so I'm going to begin reading verse number one and read just a few verses. It says that it came to pass that these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, hold here, I am. You know, I like that. He didn't beat around the bush about it, did he? Amen. He didn't say, well, I got something else to do, or I don't know if that was God or not, but he said, here I am. Amen. He is ready to serve God, wasn't he? Amen. We all ought to have that kind of attitude when it comes to serving God. When that Holy Spirit of God speaks to us, we ought to say, well, Lord, here I am. Amen. And so, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mount which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled up his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood to the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Notice it said, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Amen. He saw that place afar off. Now, the Bible said that Christ was crucified and he was placed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. 72 hours, he came victorious over death, hell, and the grave. His Father knew before he ever laid the foundation of the world that his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was going to have to come into this world and die for old wretched sinners like me and you. Amen. And so, can't you imagine how Abraham felt here that God had told him to offer up his only begotten son for a burnt offering there upon Mount Moriah? And Abraham said to him, to his young men, abide ye here. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his youngest men, abide ye here with the ass, and I will, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they went both of them together. Notice, he said there that, he said, you men, he said, now you stay down here at the foot of the mountain. And he said, me and my son, we're going up there. And he knew he was going to have to offer him as a sacrifice, but he said, they're coming back, amen. He knew if he had to take, the life and offer Isaac as a sacrifice, he knew that there was going to be a resurrection up there on that mountain, amen. And he knew, he said, me and my son's going to come back. And can't you imagine, I believe they was having revival up there when God worked it all out. And when they came skipping and hopping back down that mountain, he had Isaac with him, amen. But that's just a little bit of the story tonight. But listen, I want to talk to you tonight. How many of you have ever heard of T.C. Townsend? You ever heard of him? He's a preacher that I know, and he sang a song that says, "When I Lay My Isaac Down," and him and his wife. And when I was in the hospital and when I was operated on, I never got to... I never questioned the Lord on what I had to go through, and I never really got discouraged. And we all like that. I kind of got had a little pity party. Has anybody in here ever had one of them? Amen. Everybody, sometime or another in your life, and you may be right now, but you have... You have that pity party, you know. Why me? Amen. And I was in the hospital, and I didn't bother me so much when they operated on my heart one time and took it out. But the third time, it kind of got to where I was kind of having a pity party. And I heard this song, and... It rose me up out of despair, and it was just a blessing to my soul. And I thought about this scripture and the different ways I'd preach it, and it said, when I lay my Isaac down. So we're going on a trip tonight, a journey just for a little bit, and I'll try not to keep you too long. But I don't know about any of you, but I'm a Star Trek fan, amen. Ever since I was just a young'un, I watched Star Trek, and I still watch it today when they have it. But I watched those episodes with William Shatner and those that were on that program. And he starts out in that program. He said, "There is a these are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission is to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to go boldly go where no man has gone before." Then the Enterprise, it would shoot off in at warp speed and thrust out into the unknown, into a new trek or a new journey. So tonight I want to take us on a little journey. So how many of you, know, about all of us, have been on a journey? Amen. We're journeying right now, the Bible tells us. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through this life. And I'm afraid some Christians live like they're not going to ever leave this earth, amen, the way they live. But we're on a journey. And we ought not to put our, like the children of Israel, when they cast their tents in the wilderness, we ought not put the tent pegs down too deep, amen. For we're just sojourners. But we're going to take a little journey tonight along with Abraham and along with Isaac. And we're going to look at some things here. We're one of these days that we're also going to take another journey. Our Father, we're going to go faster than warp speed. We're going to go past the moon and the stars and the planet to that third heaven, amen. We're going to that pearly white city with those pearly gates and that place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. He said, "I go to prepare a place. And if I go to prepare a place," he said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now that's a personal promise, amen, you. He said, you. He said, "I've gone to prepare you a place." Now, I don't know what that place has looked like, but I want to tell you this. It'll be just right. Amen. Amen. We won't have to worry about Nancy arranging the furniture every once in a while. It'll be just where it ought to be. Amen. It'll be just right. Some of you men know what I'm talking about there. Amen. So, the Bible or the dictionary tells us to take one's, the journey is to take one's, to make one's way. Jesus has already came, the Bible tells me and you, and he has made a way, amen. He said, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 4:16. Jesus is the way tonight, amen. He's the only way. If you're trying to get there by being religious tonight, you won't make it. If you try to get there by doing good works tonight, you won't make it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The only way that a person can get to heaven tonight is through and by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said of himself from his own mouth, he said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." I had somebody, a pastor, to come up to me one time, and he said, "You preach a bloody, bloody book. I don't know if I like that or not." I said, "I make no apologies for it. It's bloody from Genesis 1 to through Revelation, amen." And I thank God tonight for the blood, amen. It saves old sinners like me and you. So we find here that Jesus has made this way, and we're to follow that way, for there's no other way. Jesus' whole life here was in his flesh, and it was a fleshly journey that he had no place to lay his head. He said that the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have no place to lay his head. From the cradle to the cross, to the resurrection, to the ascension, to follow Jesus meant total surrender. Amen. When Jesus went by the disciples there, the men there on the Sea of Galilee who were fishing, And they were casting their nets, and they were going about their enterprises, and they were fishing. Jesus said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, amen. So we find here that to follow Jesus Christ means total surrender. To every person in this room tonight, including me, it means surrendering my will. It means surrendering your will to what the Father is the Father's will, amen. When Jesus was there that night praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he often went to pray, and he got alone by himself, he said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That was the flesh. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. How many of us tonight are willing to say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? So to follow Jesus meant total surrender. It may be by suffering. It may be by laying down things that hinder us, as we find as we'll find out in this message. I remember one thing that really stuck with me this past Sunday that our pastor preached, and he preached to the church, and he said, "To be spiritual, we're going to have to step up to the next level." And I'd like to say tonight that, not adding anything to his message, but if we're going to step up as a church to the next level, then we're going to have to lay down some things. Amen. We're going to have to lay down some Isaacs. Now listen tonight. You say, preacher, what are your Isaacs? Well, they're none of your business. Amen. I'm not going to come to you and ask you what your Isaacs are. But I know what my Isaacs are. I know what mine are. And you know what yours are. And you know what keeps you from running the race that you ought to run just the same as I do. And so we need to step up tonight, amen, and lay aside, amen, lay down, amen, lay our Isaacs down that we might go forward and be the Christians and the soul winners that we ought to be. To follow Jesus is on this journey. We're not to put, as I mentioned, our tent pegs too deep. For the Bible tells us that we're like Abraham. We're just, as I mentioned, pilgrims and strangers passing through. A pilgrim is a person passing through a spiritual place. The world is looking, you know something tonight, the world's looking for a Superman to get us out of the mess we're in. And listen, it's not the Democrat or the Republican Party. It's not Donald Trump, amen. But what the world needs tonight, it needs Jesus, amen. And who is left to tell the world about Jesus? He told us. He said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. I want to say something tonight. If we have no compassion in our heart, if we've never cried over a lost sinner, a lost loved one, a lost family member, if we've never shed any tears over them, amen, there's something wrong in our Christian life, amen. If we don't have a desire to see others saved and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and have a commitment with the church, amen, that He established, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we have no desire to see the church go forward and see souls saved, then I'm afraid we are like the pastor sometimes. We need to check it. We need to have a spiritual check, amen, and see whether we've ever truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ or not. Listen, I'm not looking for a Superman. I'm looking for Jesus to come in the clouds, amen, to take us to heaven to be with Him. In the story, we first see Abraham and Isaac together on a journey walking to Mount Moriah. It may be a road no one wants to take after we hear what God has to say tonight. It's a road that we hope God never commands us to take. It is a road that's traveled by less traveled by many Christians tonight. Can't you imagine how Abraham felt when He had to take his son, his only son. Sarah was, I think, 99 years old when she bore him. And I think maybe he was 106 or 16. And he had waited for that son of promise all those years. And now when he thinks she's past childbearing years and he can no longer father a child, God comes to him and said, "You're going to have a child. Sarah's going to have a child." And can't you imagine how excited he was when that child was born and how he held him in his arms and how that he was his only begotten son and how that he loved him and everything that he did was for Isaac, and all he cared about in the world was Isaac. And then God comes to him and said, "I want you to take your son. I want you to take your only son and offer him up there on the mount of the Lord as a sacrifice." So it's a road that we hope that God never commands us that we may have to travel down. It's a dangerous road through it, though it looks like any normal road. It can turn violent all of a sudden, leading to unfathomable and unthinkable events. I think about the premature death of a child. There's nothing more heart-wrenching than to see a little baby that's been born into this world and that God calls it home at just a little infancy and maybe a few days old. I think about those people that would love to have a child and yet they're ripped from the mother's womb today. And even when they come full term, we've got ignorant people in America today, leaders in our land that wants to just leave it there on the table and let it starve to death until it dies. Isn't that awful tonight? Isn't it awful? Premature death of a child, the death of a daughter or the death of a son, maybe the death of a husband or maybe the death of a mom or dad. Some of you, if your dad's still with you, you ought to thank God for him every day. I lost my dad when I was 5 years old. I think about Bruce and his family, and they've got a big family, and his dad, I think, was a preacher all these years. But you know what is amazing to me? The thing that's amazing to me, if you've ever noticed, is how they care for him and how they love him and how they take care of him when he's here at church. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Amen. And listen, isn't it terrible to be a loved one to snatch from us, even though we may know that infirmities enter their body and we're not going to have them around much longer, and yet our heart aches and our minds hardly find it hard to fathom, but it's a road that we don't want to have to go down. I'll never forget the morning my dad died. My brother sent me up the road to a little old country store to get some things, and when I came back, and my brother met me there at the driveway, and he told me my dad had been sick for about a year and a half, and he was a man who was 6'7", weighed at one time 500 pounds, and when he died, he didn't weigh about 118 pounds. And I watched him wither away, and I remember my brother coming out there and told me my dad had passed away, and I didn't understand, but one thing I understood was Dad wasn't going to be with me anymore. Isn't that heart-wrenching to have to go to the city of the dead and to bury our loved ones, whichever they may be? So listen, no one chooses to walk this road of Mount Moriah, but it's ordained by God. You may not be on that road tonight, right now, but sooner or later you'll have to travel that road, amen. Sooner or later you'll have to travel that Mount Moriah road. So, I'll get here in a minute. So on this journey of the Mount Moriah road, Isaac does not know what God has commanded his father to do. God comes to Abraham and tells him to take his son, his only son, offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. May I say there's going to be times in Christian that God is going to ask us to do hard things. Amen. Not easy things. He's going to ask us to do hard things. Hard things. There are times when God needs us to He needs to test our loyalty to Him and our trust in Him. See, God knows what we'll do. He knows what every situation has going to play out in our life. But the reason God sends hardships and God sends, lets trials come and heartaches come is that we can look upon them and not that, we're trying to somehow show God how we're going to get through it. No, God's trying to show us how we're going to get through it. Amen. We can't get through it without God. Amen. Have you ever heard anybody say, I sure am being persecuted. And maybe you know a little about their life. And you know what happens to some people? Their persecution is of their own making, amen. God didn't have a thing to do with it. It was simply something that they did in their life, or they should not do, that it brought persecution upon them, amen. And God wants them to see that, amen. But you know what the Bible says? You know when a person is persecuted? The Bible said, those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Have you ever suffered any persecution for God? Has somebody called you a name misused the Christian name and bemeaned God through something that they say to you? Have they ever done that? That's persecution, amen. Has somebody ever got up in your face and told you that you was just a good-for-nothing Christian when you're trying to live your best for the Lord and pray and do the best you can and be faithful to the house of God? And through all of that, they stand in your face and tell you are no good Christian. You know better. That's persecution, amen. So let me ask you, let me ask me, have I lived godly enough today? Have I lived godly enough so far this week that I would suffer a little persecution for God? You know what Paul said? The chief among men, he said he counted it joy to suffer for the Lord. Now, hunt the scripture up and find out what all Paul went through, and you'll see a man that was persecuted, amen. But, you know tonight why some people are never tested of God? They're never serious. They've never been serious about serving God. If you're serious about serving God, then God will pinpoint those things in our life that are threatening to take the place of our worship. Amen. That should be reserved for God alone. See, God is a jealous God in Exodus 20 and 5. So what God said in the scripture is when people make idols and bow down to them and worship them, and instead of giving God the worship that is to be received, reserved for Him alone, then that is sin. And He tells us the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You say, preacher, I don't have any gods tonight. I'd check up. Other than God, I'd check up. See, God is possesses of His worship and service that totally belongs unto Him. He don't want us to worship anything, any image, graven image, That's what happened to the children of Israel. They've been studying about Joshua, finishing up there. Brother Tom is about the Joshua. And what happened was that when Abraham, right before he died, he set Joshua up before the people. And he took a little of the glory off of himself and he said, "Here's Joshua. I'm going to impart some glory, my glory, onto him. He's going to lead you. And he's going to be with you from now on. And you're to look to him." Amen. He gave him a little of the glory. And look at the warrior that Joshua was. But at the end of the book of Joshua, you know what Joshua did? He failed to do what Abraham did for him. He failed to put somebody up and say, "Listen, here's my successor. Here's who's going. I'm going to pass the mantle to. Here's the one I want you to listen to and follow. And after I'm gone," and he was going to mentor him, amen, that he'd be able to take the reins and to go forth. But he failed to do that. He kept all the glory for himself. The Bible tells us there at the end of Joshua that that whole generation, they said, "We're going to keep your precepts. We're going to keep the law. We're going to do what's right." And that whole generation did until for one generation. One generation. And then the Bible says the next generation that grew up knew not God. You'd better not let public education teach your children. They're not going to teach them about God. They're not going to teach them about our heritage. They're not going to teach them about that so great a cloud of witness, amen, in the Old Testament and our old saints that have gone on and the men who established America. They're not going to teach them about that. And the generation that we're raising now is a generation that knows not God and doesn't want to have anything to do with God. You'd better teach your children, amen, about God and the Word of God. So it's a sin to worship anything, anyone other than the true God of heaven. So spiritual surrender shows forth salvation in a person's life marked by a great crisis. Amen. Marked by surrender of something or someone. Genesis 21:4, Abraham God asked him to leave his family. And perhaps he's calling you to take another job or to take another position or to be a missionary or a preacher, maybe in another part of the world or whatever. Maybe God's calling you out to do something for him. And I find out, ask him to separate from Lot. Perhaps God's asking you to break off his the friendship that is hurting you personally. Listen, Abraham had to not have any ties with Lot anymore because he was hurting him spiritually. And listen, if you have people in your life and you consider them your friend, and if they don't want to have anything to do with God and they don't want to come to church with you and you can't talk about God around them, hey, listen, you'd better separate from them tonight, amen. So we find that God's asking us to alter those plans and take a different direction maybe in your life. Sacrifice gives the Son of God, asking you to let go of your children that maybe, I've known people that's held on to their children and they're still at home, 30, 40 years old and they're still at home. Won't let go. I've known people that on Sunday, maybe the wife or the husband would go to their family's house, their parents' house, and leave their wife at home, or both of them would go their separate way. Hey, that's not a family tonight, amen. The Bible told Adam in Adam and Eve's time, he said, a man shall leave his mother and his father and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. That's the reason I look so pretty tonight. I've been around Nancy so long, amen. What we need to do is to give our children to the Lord in prayer so they can learn to trust in the Lord. There are three main characters, and I'm going to close in this particular part of the story. Abraham is a type of God the Father, in that he had only one begotten son. Amen. And then we find that Isaac is a type of God offering Jesus to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16, we all know it, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The place where Abraham was to offer Isaac is the same place that Christ would be offered there upon the cross of Calvary. Christ himself stayed the hand of Abraham, and God placed a ram caught by his horns in the bushes, amen. I had somebody tell me one time, said that ram was there all the time. No. When Abraham drew back and would have taken that knife and plunged it in the heart of Isaac, listen, the angel stayed the hand of God, and he put the ram over there in the bushes, amen. And because if he had been there all the time, Isaac would say, listen, there's a ram baying over there, and let's get him and offer him. No, God put him right there, amen, at the right time. And I want you to see something else. He was caught by his horns. He wasn't caught by his feet. He wasn't caught by his hinder parts. But he was caught by his horn. You say, preacher, what that's got to do with it? The Bible tells that Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Amen. When that high priest, he had no spot or no blemish. When that priest would look over that yearling lamb, he would look for any little spot or blemish or cut or anything. And if he found anything, hey, that lamb couldn't be used as a sacrifice. Why didn't God stay the hand of Abraham? I'll tell you why. He wasn't the sacrifice for the sins of the world, amen. Only Christ was born into the world to be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world. So God told Mary, God told him his name, and God told Mary what to call Jesus. The birth of Isaac was contrary to nature. Sarah, as I mentioned, was 100 years old, and Mary was a virgin. Amen. I have no problem believing that Mary was a virgin tonight. If you don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, then listen, I doubt if you've ever been born again, or you need to get your doctrine right. One, amen. Isaac is a type of the church in that he bore his own cross up Calvary's hill. Isaac could not die, as I mentioned, because he was not that lamb as Christ was. Christ was the perfect lamb, the Bible tells me and you tonight, slain from the foundation of the world. Then there's a third party, and I'll close with this. There was a third party, and his name is not mentioned. You must go back to chapter 15 to find his name. His name is Eleazar. He's a type of the Holy Ghost. There's this crowd today. I mean, they're hooped up and hollered up on the Holy Ghost. But listen, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. You can't hardly mention him in most Baptist church. But I want to tell you, it wasn't the Holy Ghost that came to save me. The Holy Ghost stood at the foot of the cross and pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. He's the one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. When he died there upon the cross and he gave up the ghost, he said, it's finished. What was finished? Works was finished. The work that God had called him to do. Salvation wasn't complete, amen, until he resurrected from the grave. And then me and you are resurrected in the new because we're placed in Christ when we're born again, amen. We're placed in Christ. And Christ is coming back to this earth. He's going to rapture us out. And listen, he's going to take us from the very presence of sin. And one day, he's going to do completely away with sin. Amen. And he's going to burn this earth with fervent heat. And he's going to put it all back together again. So we find that Jesus is one that came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Christ said to John, as John was in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Abraham's statement of faith, and Abraham said to his young men servants, stay here and I'll take the young lad and go yonder and I'll be back, as I mentioned. So we find that his finished works was offered there on Calvary. Listen, if we say that, or a man says that, they've got to add a little works, like a little, I don't know about some of you, but I found out if you have heart conditions and you have blood conditions and you got all these conditions, what's that old song? Know what my condition was in. But I can't have any salt and seasoning, and that's a joy. Amen. I'll try to sneak around there once in a while, Brother Joe, and get a little something. Nancy catches me. And it's on in, amen. I say, why do you do that? She said, I want to keep you around a little longer. I said, I don't know why you won't keep me around any longer, boy. Amen. But anyway, if they try to doctor up this gospel, then it's not of the Lord. It's not of the Bible. It's not of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in closing night, if any man preach any other gospel than this gospel, he said he's to be accursed. He's to be accursed. I'm glad you got a great church, a growing church, a prosperous church, a great pastor, young pastor. I'm just so, me and Nancy, so thankful to be able to be a little part of it. We're not here to take any glory. We're not here to for any accolades. We're simply servants of the Lord. And we want to help this church and this pastor and his family and you. We want to help y'all in any way we can. If you ever feel threatened by me, then come and let me know. I'm not hard to figure things out, amen. But we love you tonight. We love the church. And we thank God for you. Amen. Pastor, you want to come on?